Matthew's Gospel 28:18. Still looking at the truth about discipleship. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power there, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you till the end. Now, we've been on that since last night. And we began to look at the meaning of disciple, to someone who is a student, someone who is learning. I just felt led to share this with you. If you are going to be courageous, if you are going to be bold, if you are going to be very, very stubborn, as we call it, don't do it in dishonor. Don't do it to dishonor God's men or women, if you like me to say that. Don't be bold in dishonor. I'm saying that again. Don't be bold about that. That's not what to be bold about. That's a be bold about against the devil, all right? Be bold against the works of darkness. Don't be bold in the wrong things. You know, men will applaud you, like I showed you last night, but it has nothing to do with God's will and purpose of what you have done. Okay, just get that clearly. And I've taught you, this is our meeting, okay, but I've taught you, I've not raised anybody anywhere to follow trends in the world. I've not raised anyone to comment on other people's churches. I've not raised anyone like that. If there's anyone like that who behaves like that, the fellow is acting like a bastard. I'm not the one who raised the person. I've not raised anyone to cancel people's church members when they have pastors. I've not raised anyone like that. I don't know anyone. I don't do it. So you shouldn't. I've raised anyone to share videos about churches in news, negative news about pastors. I've not raised anyone like that. I have not done that. God sees my heart. And I used to say this publicly. I've written it on Facebook and social media. I've told pastors, and I hope I can say it again, that if you find any member of Saints Community Church speak down on any man of God anywhere, that the moment you get me the evidence, I will resign as a pastor. Can I still make that boast? Can I still make that boast? Come on, talk to me at the back. Can I do it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've said that in many places, that you won't find not our church members. When just about 4 o'clock of that day, your pastor is buzzing, have you checked that brother? How come you have nobody in the membership class? You have your own work to do. Nobody gets rewarded for supervising someone else's work. Who appointed you? Someone sent me something, said, Pastor, imagine this is happening in one church. I said, I can't see Saints Community Church in what you sent. See, I know, sir, it's not Saints Community Church. So why are you sending it to me? That's not my job. Hallelujah. Learn to be focused. I told you, whenever you see a minister who is not bearing fruit, he is not facing his work. Face your work. Face your work. I'm saying that in your midst, in your fellowship, in your zone, you're not facing your work. You are about other things. Face your work. I've not raised you like that. I've not raised you to comment on every issue, right? Come on. I've not raised you. I've not raised you to talk anyhow to anybody. I've not raised you to do that. Praise the Lord. So I guess I can always boast about that. Where were we now? So I said, you learned that discipleship, okay, that heart of learning, and we looked at two major Bible personalities yesterday, Joshua and who? Elijah. All right, whom Jesus had at the background of his teaching on discipleship. In Luke 9, we saw the Elijah example. We saw the majorly the Elijah example and Elisha. And we also saw the example of Joshua. Now, I want to pick out something again we saw yesterday, Acts 16. And that's about Timothy. If you want to know people, go to their local church. Don't assume. When people tell me they want to marry someone, male and female, created he them, I believe. Amen. You know, we have some information in one of our upcoming books. Excuse me, Pastor, I have a question. I mean, we're in strange days for a believer asking another believer whether homosexuality is wrong. These are the end times. You get it? I mean, we didn't have the boldness to even ask whether wearing earrings was wrong. All right. Now, people are asking about transgender. Wow, we are growing in the world. You know, we're really growing in the world, you know. Anyway, where were we? I said Acts 16. There's just one light and loose thing about our generation, maybe yours too, and it's about people can ask any kind of question. I tell people, you don't ask God questions. No, you answer his own question. Hallelujah. You don't ask him questions. You answer his own questions. He's the one who gave you a question. And I think this social media generation doesn't like that. What do you mean by that? Is there anything that cannot be questioned? You know, they talk like that. Acts 16:1. Then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple. Can you see that? So you will know disciples. A certain disciple. Can we say a studying student? Learner? A fellow who is humble to learn? Who takes instructions? Come on. Or is it somebody who just speaks in tongues? Huh? Lays hands on the sick? No. Somebody who takes instructions. Named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Which was well reported. You see that word? Well reported. In the Greek, the word there is humaterio. Good witness. Good witness. So when people come around and say, they want to marry somebody, I say, well, how is he or she in his local church? Now, I hear things like, he doesn't really like his church. That's a red flag. He doesn't like his church. He's there. What's he doing in there? Well, he's in his church, but he listens to you. Ah, that's a bigger problem. So the moment you bring him here to, he will listen to somebody else. Oh, well, let me use she, because not always he. Praise the Lord. She's there, but really our heart is not there. Or you get to local church, well, I'm asking for Brother Shekun and say, ha, who is that? And the church is just about 200. Who is that? Then we look for every department, he's not there. Everything's not there. Say, that guy that always comes late. There's a reason for it. What's the reason? He spends a lot of time praying overnight, so he's late for church. I tell the sister, you are blessed. You got something in your hands, right? Well reported in the church. Well reported. Acts 6 amongst you. Well reported amongst you. We mustn't underplay what God places the local church for. Well reported. Well spoken of. Hallelujah. Someone tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I'm really, thank God for your ministry. I've been learning for so. I said, okay. I just called the pastor up. The pastor, you know, I pastor the old pastors all the time. Except now I'm a cell leader. Amen. Just like some of you. So when we have cell leaders meeting, I'll be seated there and we'll be here. Come on. If we have cell leaders meeting, I'll be there. Who's going to be here? Maybe one of you. Tell us how to pastor a cell during the pandemic. Anyway, so how did I get here now? Okay, yeah. Say, Pastor, you know, I've been following you in community. I said, hey. So I called up the pastor. Pastor that I pastor. I said, this fellow, what's the participation in your church? Pastor is no good. I said, okay. That's an assessment. So I said, okay. Any disciples in church? -0. What about prayer groups? Not consistent. Study group? 6 months outstanding. I said, well, I believe in, so I told the person, I believe in positive confession. He said, I've been following you well. I believe that they're saying, calling the things that be not. As though they were fine to start at that point, but you can't stay there. Because Isaac came eventually. So if you take 1-2 years, calling the things that be not as though they were, and after 2-3 years, I just will tell you, get Eliezer. Amen. I said, you can't be following me, and your pastor says, you are a problematic child. Even if you send money to my account, I'll take it. Jesus didn't ask a boy who gave 5 loaves and 2 fish whether he listened to his sermon. Oh, come on, don't quote me wrongly, come on. I'll take it. But the point is, hey, that's not why I'm your pastor. I'm not your pastor so you can give me money, but I'll take it. Don't forget the emphasis. You know, I said, no, you can't be, you're not a good church member. You are not. Your pastor says you are one of his prayer points. No, there's prayer project, there's prayer infrastructure, and some, there are prayer deficits. You say, Lord, I should spend more time to pray for these ones. But this one is just still there. Bull of Bashan, Prince of Persia. Come on. E.W. Kenyon says, some are overgrown babes. They stick to the bottle. They don't allow the new converts to take off the bottle. That energy to complain, if you use it for soul winning, you will not be complaining. That energy. So people, you know, they have a lot of energy to gist and complain. They can sit down in one fellowship and tell you how each person has offended them. Let me leave Bro Femi's home. It's not big. But sister, it happened in 2016. You wonder? As a pastor, when you hear someone talk like that, like Oladele would say those days, you say, Pastor, you have work. You mean I teach hours for you to be able to talk like this? Pastor. But thank God, as you have taught us, there should not be strife. He's trying to tell you he's in strife, but you told him not to be in strife. Are you still there? Glory to God. Someone told me, I spent this time with somebody who had left the church. I said, we talked about, you went to somebody who had left the church and you spent time to do what? To talk about how the person left the church. That's your next route. Because what are you doing? That means you don't have work to do. If you've been somebody who has left the church, inspire the person to keep doing what he was doing before. Not, what happened? What happened? You mean you've been in this ministry since when? Did the pastor got born again, you knew him? Wow. Yeah. I know you knew him then. He used to carry tract all over the place. Yeah. You know. The next question should be, so what are you pastoring now? For now, you know, I really was offended with the Lord. No, with his people. You know, the Lord is my savior, but his people are not. So, you're a junkie. That's how you're a junkie. You're not a serious person. Praise the Lord. Always have positive engagements. Every conversation adds to you or takes away from you. Ensure you weigh conversations before you get into them. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Okay, let's go. So, it's reported amongst. Find out what the local church has to say. Everybody in the local church can be bad guys. Everybody is a bad guys. No. He was well reported and Paul took him. Now, do you know anything about it? Until the very last letter written to Timothy, he was still well reported. So you are good, and then you are good. He was saying, well reported. Well reported. Young man, focused, respectful, takes instructions, and all of that. So let's go over to Joshua. Joshua was such a fellow too. In Numbers 11. Are you in church? Remember that story I gave you last night? Numbers 11. Verse 28. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men. So he wasn't the only young person, but he was the true disciple. One of his young men. Now what's going on here? We said yesterday that he was Moses' servant. He was God's servant, but serving with Moses. Then I mentioned to you yesterday that it appears like Numbers 12, where Aaron and Miriam, will explore that a bit more today, where they became irreverent in their speech to Moses. If you read the things they said, there are things that we say generally. It just basically said, verse 2, Numbers 11, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not also spoken by us? What basically they're saying is that it's not only Moses that God can use. It's not only Moses that can teach and preach and lead the people. I don't think in today's world we will feel that's anything wrong. It's an opinion, we'll say. It's just an expression. After all, they are also men of God. Let's see what happened to them. When it comes to the people God uses, you have no opinion to share or opinion to express. That's something you need to realize very quickly. And so, now, I go back to Numbers 11. Moses obviously was carrying the burden of the people alone, and it was, come on, a bit heavy. And Moses is saying, I feel this is too much. Numbers 11, verse 11 through to verse 13 and 14. Let's take 14 together. I am not able to bear all these people alone because it's too heavy for me. And that's something leaders face many times. Those of who are your pastors, you know that. Sometimes we can ignore that part, that they actually are carrying heavy burdens. Burdens to lead people, burdens to pray, burdens of their personal lives and all that. So Moses is here carrying the burden. And this is what I call an abuse, where one person begins to do the work of 100 people. That shouldn't happen in any church or ministry. Where you see an abuse like that, there's lack of growth and effective leadership. What do I mean by that? When you find people, alright, neglecting work and service. In other words, when his church is not multiplying servants, or let's use it properly, servant leaders. People don't want to take up responsibilities. They just want to walk into the service, get blessed, get healed, be blessed, get a word from God, and get out of the service. Guys like that, that's all they want to do. Such are the kind of people that can take permission not to come to church every now and then, because they have nothing to lose anyway. So where that happens in a local church or local assembly, it will not fulfill its mission in the earth. People have to take up responsibilities, because at some point, that leader has too much to bear. Now this is not because the children of Israel were dying, it's because leaders were not growing. There wasn't multiplied leadership, there weren't people, who were willing to be around, to serve. And so, if you see a local assembly or ministry that is reaching people, reaching the nations, watch something very simple. There is multiplied leadership and service. So we need to relieve our leaders of things we should be doing. The things you should be doing. The things I should be doing for my leadership. The things you should be doing in your church, in your zone, in your fellowship. The things you should be doing, that people I called one time and I said, how come your pastor could not recommend you to be a cell leader? And said, there's no reason you can give me. If you've been in this ministry 6 years and 7 years, and no one could say, hey, you should go lead those people, then you are a bad example. Go fix it now. You should be able, after a few years, to be so responsible, we can commit lives to your trust. It's not enough to buy the books, be excited, love God, and say, oh my God, I love the worship, I love the sermon, and give out Living Word Media links to everybody. That's not sufficient. It's not enough to put my picture on your DP. That's not what I'm leading you for. I'm leading you so you can lead others. It's not enough for you to have great tributes for me. I'm grateful for it, and I'll forever be grateful for it. It's not good enough for you to even give me a Rolls Royce. I like a Rolls Royce, actually. It's not good enough for you to do all that. That's not what I'm called. I'm called to ensure that you can bear the burden with me. If that's not happening after a minimum number of years, the writer of Hebrews says the time you ought to be teachers. You need some, again, to teach you that which will be the first principle of the oracles of God. And if that's going on, then you need to know that your pastor, your coordinator is saying, this is heavy. The people that you should be taking care of. We have the nursery, should be for new converts. We're still using it for you 2 years, 3 years. We should have to cancel you on the same things. A simple 3-4 months pandemic breakdown. And some of you, not all of you, maybe a few of you just went balloony. What's wrong with you? Anywhere you are, you should be a good ambassador of your church and ministry. You don't lack leadership. You don't lack what inspires you to serve. Come on. How many years? We had to call you. Are you doing your study group assignment? Come on. You tell yourself the truth. You aren't good. As an example, I'm calling you up on prayer group. You're missing prayer group meetings. They have to call you up, wake you up for prayer at 4:30. They have to, come on. Wake up. I told the fellow, I said, your pastor didn't recommend you. Why? No. It's not good enough. And if I allow you to keep staying in this church, you're going to influence others. And they'll think it's a pattern they can follow. Because in a local church, if someone stays around with the wrong example long enough, others will pick from it and that could grow. So I would tell leaders, don't allow anything to become popular before you kill it. Cause it to die immediately, not men now, the actions. There we are. So what does God recommend? Verse 16. And he says, okay, Moses, I will talk to 70 men who will come to you. No! Moses, you choose 70 men. When God calls people like that, he gives them prerogative of who to choose. Who do you choose? Peter in Acts 1, 20, 21, 22, laid down the principles on who will be the apostle. It wasn't something they prayed about. They knew whoever will fit this role will be one who was with us from John's baptism. He's in and out. You should know who is who. I don't see you at prayer group meetings. I don't see you at study group, you know, doing the right things. I don't see you in disciples. I don't see people follow you. I don't see people follow me because they follow you. I don't see that. There will be a cold day in hell the day I give you responsibility. Because you don't show that. So he says, choose people that you know to be the elders of the people. Those who are good examples in the church. Those who will come in on time. Are you there? Those who will not try to dress like someone else. Those who won't try to be unique in the church. There's some guys who don't want to be unique. We don't need unique people here. You're already unique. Look at your skin colors. Look at your height. I mean, there's some of you, even if you sit at the front, you know, the camera won't capture. Now I'm talking to nobody right here. There's some of you who can sing, some cannot sing. No matter how you lay hands on them, they can't sing. Praise God. You know, but it's not like I can't pray. Yeah, different stuff, I have different skills already. Some of you are pro-technology, some of you are not. Some of you are pro-entrepreneurship. Some of you, the very first entrepreneurship experience you had, you applied for a job. You know, well, that's not the point here. But don't stand in local assembly and choose to be unique. He said, no. Who are already the elders of the people who are showing leadership by example. He says, 70 of them, officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle, that they may stand with who? There with you. Can we take 17 together? I will come down and talk with you there, and take up the spirit that's upon you, and put it upon them. Let's finish it together. That they may bear the burden of the people with you, that thou shouldn't bear it alone. Who is to choose? Come on. Whose responsibility we're gonna bear? Moses. Is that similar to 1 Timothy 3? Timothy was going to choose the bishops. Say, but why wouldn't they choose me? Jesus appeared to me on the road to Mushin. Well, good. Tell Jesus to start a church for you there. Here, we gotta see you. The leader must recognize you, know you, see you at the right time, sometimes at times where things are tough, sees you. That's the right person. 70 people who are elders and leaders of the people. And Joshua was someone who, you know, was seen in that light as well as Moses. A servant of Moses. Numbers 11:28. And when you see a disciple like that, the disciple isn't someone who does what you want to do, what you want to hear when you are there. A true disciple, when you are not physically present, just like Peter, James, and John and the 12, they will carry out the work as though you were physically present. The truth about people who pretend behind their pastors is eventually they are going to do what they were doing behind him right before him. You cannot pretend for long. One day it's going to come out. And that's it. So, here we are. We have Joshua. Now, in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, 34, pardon me, and verse 9, we find Moses laid his hands on Joshua. As scripture tells us, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9, and the spirit of wisdom, that's for leadership, was in him, for Moses laid his hands on him. You see that in Numbers 27, verse 18 and 23. Now, let's go to Joshua 1. So, whenever you read, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Who wrote the book of the law? Who wrote the book of the law? In other words, Moses' instructions will not depart from your mouth. You will meditate day and night and observe to do all that Moses wrote. Moses wrote what God told Joshua to follow. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying. Moses wrote what he asked Joshua to follow. Then you will make your ways prosperous. Of course, people use that text a lot for business prosperity, which is absolutely not true, because this is about leadership. It's about how to lead the children of Israel. The burden is Moses' burden shared with Joshua. So if Joshua tried to read what was said to someone else, he wouldn't be carrying it out. You cannot function, alright, in A church with instructions from B church. That is division. You will function in A church with instructions in B church. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he doesn't have in mind, or in Ephesus, those that are in another congregation led by James. No. He says, hey, you guys, I'm going to send Timothy to you. He's going to tell you my ways. He's going to tell you this one. And then ensure that when I come, you do this, you do that. That's for them. You do not become an obedient student University of Lagos by attending Lake Church University of Ibadan. Make it simple. So, here's Joshua following the instructions that Moses wrote. And look at a critical thing here. Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given to you, as I said to Moses. As I said to Moses. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Now, let's see how he followed it. Joshua 3:7. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify the sight of all people, that they may know that as I was with See that emphasis. So, I'll be with thee. Why is God mentioning Moses? Why can't he say, I will be with you, I'm the Lord God of Israel? Because I told you yesterday, he uses men. He uses men. The clearest instructions you are going to hear from God will be from men. He uses men. That's what he does. He uses men. I never knew I was going to be doing what I'm doing today. But God used men to talk to me. And he used men to instruct me and guide me. Always grateful. Jeremiah again. So I'm not saying Jeremiah today. Come on. Is there any Jeremiah in front of it? All right. Joshua 3:5. Read that. Joshua 11 verse 15. Joshua 11, 15. Okay. The Lord commanded Moses' servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. Can you see? God commanded Moses, Moses commanded Joshua. God commanded Moses, Moses commanded Joshua. Look at verse 23. Let's take it together. Let's take it one more time. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said to Moses. As the Lord said to Moses. Joshua 22. And verse 5. Take diligent. Let's take it together. But take diligent. Joshua 22 verse 5. Let's go. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and cleave to him. Alright, so as he said to Moses. Look at chapter 23 and verse 6. This is the one that touched me the most. Because here, Joshua was already going. He's about to leave. And what does he say? Towards the very last day of his life. Verse 6. Let's go. Be therefore courageous to keep and do all that is written in my new book. Where? Of Moses that you turn not aside. His honor did not even diminish till the last days of his life. Till the last days of his life. That's important. He walked with Moses. I think that's one I skipped. Joshua 4:14. Just for emphasis. Joshua 4:14. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So there was something on Moses that was on Joshua. So, you can see a disciple is someone who takes instructions, who follows the instructions. Fame doesn't get to his mind. I mean, imagine, this is it. Moses didn't take them into the land. I thought Joshua would say, well, the new has come. Has come to stay because of the new. And then he just say, well, I'm the new guy now. And some don't even wait. They can do it right here. You ask them, okay, you help us teach some folks in there and then go around this and explain righteousness by faith. And he goes there in a local assembly, pastored by, say, Pastor Coyote here. And he goes there to quote someone he knew 6 years ago. What kind of person are you? No, you don't do that. You simply take what he teaches or what he taught you and teach it. You don't say, well, you know, I know my pastor has taught me, but along the line too, I also, come on. There's something coming out of you there. Because there's that temptation to want to show that I also can say something. And we all are prone to it. He says, look, as God gave to Moses. So he followed Joshua 1:8 till the last day. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Did it depart from his mouth? Come on. And that is in his preaching and teaching. You'll meditate day and night. Observe to do it. Then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. So, he learned from Moses to lead well. Don't reinvent the wheel. He learned to lead well. Just like Acts 6 and Timothy. You have to learn it. Timothy was well reported by the elders. And Paul could trust them because he let them. Just like in your churches, I have your pastors recommend them to us. And say, well, that fellow is this. I say, you sure? Yeah, pastor, this is a committed person, faithful and loyal. I said, okay, good. I'm doing the work well. He's got disciples in church and they're doing fine. He's generous towards the work of the ministry. He's there at World Changers Conference. Doesn't miss it. Doesn't suddenly develop fever towards the end of the year. You know what I mean, right? Or decides to get a new job December 1, Sunday. He's that kind of person we can trust at the midnight hour to carry out the work. Okay, let's go. You know, that's what Paul does in Acts 16. And I tell the pastors oftentimes, if you recommend someone, and then the person begins to falter, it is your word that is going to the ground. And so you must repay the faith your pastors have in you as they repay the faith I have in them. It's the same as coming to church. Ask all your pastors, I don't monitor what they do. Nope. We don't ask them to return money to us every Sunday. Amen. We don't ask them to do stuff like that. No. We don't say, okay, do this one. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we don't do it. We don't say, you know what, let me send a spy to go check what they are doing. No, we don't do stuff like that. I just trust them. Because that's how it is. Just trust them. They're doing what they should do, the way they should do it, and all that. And so the way they trust you too. So the moment they do that, and they put faith in you, you cannot betray that trust. You must ensure that you do exactly what they want you to do. Not your ideas, no. What they want. See, when you are learning and you're under authority, many times your ideas will not be taken. Don't feel bad about it. Sometimes you think, well, I thought this was the body of Christ. I know. That's why it's like that. So you have Timothy, he's recommended. But then Paul found it to be true. Philippians 2, Paul says about Timothy 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, Philippians 2, 19, to send Timothy or shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. I like verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want us to take verse 22 together. Let's go. But you know, the proof of him. That as a son with the Father, he has served me within the gospel. That is Moses and who? Joshua. He said, you know, there is nothing called secret commitment, secret following. Everyone's going to know it. And I can imagine how many times, I mentioned a brother talks last night, how many times they will laugh at this guy, you don't know. Do you have a head? You're just following Paul. This is a guy who doesn't have a wife, doesn't have a life, doesn't have a guy for whatever. Wife, life. He doesn't have a life, doesn't have a wife, doesn't have a knife. What's he doing? He's got a shipwreck. You know, he's beaten twice last night. This is a guy who everybody believes he preaches heresy. And the young man stuck his neck out. Just like Joshua, just like Elijah. So we learn how to do it. Timothy, Paul will have trouble in Ephesus, and he knows the exact person to send. In 1 Timothy 1:2 or 1:3, for I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I asked you to stay put there and get the job done. I trust you will do it. I was learning a pastor who left Lagos to pastor in the north. And he said his pastor just called him at night and said, hey, there's a problem in this city. I want you to go there tomorrow. I said, okay, sir. He said, just told the wife. Well, pastor, I said, there's work to be done. And I gotta go. And he married the right woman. You know, who didn't call the mother-in-law? Like I told you, they have cooked my husband's brain in that church. She didn't do that. She said, let's go. Packed their stuff, took the kids and said, we're off. And they've been there for about 10 years. Church has blossomed, sent missionaries around the world. But it started by one man just being the true disciple. I can't be there, you go for me. No problem, I will. Jesus couldn't go to all the quarters or cities of Jerusalem and Judea. He sent the 12. You go. I'm sure what you're going to say is what I'm going to say. That's a disciple. There's some guys, you send them on an errand just across the road, your chest is beating. You ask, go share the word with someone. You have to go and meet the parents and say, let me see your note. Let me see what he told you. You're not sure what he's going to say. Because he will stay right there in the service. You send him to go preach. You were supposed to preach there. You say, okay, go do it for me. He uses I all the time. I. You know what? Absalom, coming to Absalom. He's growing spiritually. Absalom is growing spiritually. You know what that means? I begin to tell you experiences. You know, before I joined this ministry, I was a healing minister. That is a bastard growing in the mist. As someone growing as a bastard in the mist. You shut up. You were sent. You were sent. And that's why Paul will say, if you are going to choose anyone to be in responsibility, the things you have learned from Jesus, no. You have learned from Peter, no. You have learned of me among many witnesses. The same. Commit on the faithful men who shall be able to teach others. I tell this to a lot of people who associate with us in ministry. Sometimes they have this, associate pastors, and then they say, well, they heard this on Living Word Media, they want to teach it. I said, don't put such men in leadership. And I always say, to churches where I preach for, I said it last week, you were there. I said, if there's anyone in your church who listens to me beyond listening to you, don't give that person the responsibility. Ask him to join Saints Community Church. Don't stay here and have another pastor. There's one of my friends who called me, said, there's this guy in our church, you know, he does this, he follows you. I said, don't put him in any responsibility. He shouldn't follow me. He should follow you. And follow me to the degree where you tell him to do so. It's only a stupid person who follows your pastor's friend like he's your pastor. That's a stupid person. And I learned that stupidity as a young boy. You know, we had this family friend. My mom, very rigid. Very rigid, and before you eat in the afternoon, you do your own work. And I didn't like that. So, and of course, we were just trying to come up and all that. So we had this family that were family friends. And so one day my dad drove us there, and then I saw the what we ate Sunday evening, they ate on Tuesday afternoon. Sunday afternoon. And I felt, these guys are really comfortable. My God. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to find my way to this house one day. So, without waiting for anyone, the very next day, I just left school, went to the house. And I stayed there. There were no phones, so my dad didn't know where I was. And they said, why are you here? I said, my daddy said I should come and wait here for him. My target was that rice in the afternoon. I didn't know they also ate it only on Sundays. That day was just a miracle. So they served me beans. So I'm going, when is the main thing? Primary three. When is the main thing? So as I was waiting for the main thing, my dad shows up. And I still don't know today how they got him because there's no phone. You know, we didn't have phones in our house. And I'm not sure there was no phone in their house. It was really like here at the staff quarters. The man's name is, I'm not forgetting the name now. Oh, I remember. And so, my dad drove us in this car. And we got home. And he ministered to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. He ministered adequately to me. The next week, he came to pick us again. And I went to check the man. I didn't come down from the car. He said, let's go, he said. I said, I'm tired. A very wise person. That's not my dad. This is my dad. As simple as it goes, right? My mom will ask, where did you get your pen from? My dad will say, it's not good, return it. My mom will do that. My mom will first of all ensure that you are full of the Spirit. So you don't take someone's pen. My mom will say, whatever your parent cannot buy for you, she doesn't do it by speech. She believes in miracles. She goes, go, 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 go. Then she will talk why she did it. You know, stuff like that. A little silly person. You are in the house. You are here. You don't. So I tell people, no. If there's someone who comes to your church, he's a member, and he begins to mention my name. Hey, that's a bad one. This is Saints Community Church. That's not Saints Community Church. Ask him to come here, and I'm sure he won't, because he'll begin to smell membership class. Smell all class, no. You know, some guys look at, a guy told me one time, he said, I can't come to your church. I said, why? He said, ah, that's what he told me. He's a pastor in Lagos. He said, I see to get to the top. That's what he told me. It's a long journey. I said, what's the top? So you call me pastor now? I said, wow. You want to join a church to get to the top? What a shame. You know? So, you got to know what that is. The things you have learned, commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So you learn pastoring from your pastor. Is that correct? You learn teaching from your teacher. Is that correct? You learn ministry from your leader. That's how you do it. In John 21, 15, 16, and 17 through 18, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. Simon, lovest thou me more than this? The guy says, of course I do. Then he tells him in 15, 16, and 17, he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. The first one is, bosko ania, my lambs. Then, poimano, probata, we shared that last week. Bosko probatar. And there are two things that compels you to see. One, give food and tend my lamb and sheep. Then also rule them and govern them. Rule them and govern them. Where you have the word shepherd. And we have that narrative of a shepherd, or called a pastor, in the man David. Psalm 78. Are you in church? Are you in church? Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 70. He says, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel is inheritance. Let's take 72 together. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness. This is Asaph writing. They found out that he actually fed them according to the integrity of his heart. The word integrity there is the word tom, T-O-M in the Hebrew. It means innocence. Sincerity. Innocence. It doesn't mean that this guy's, David is not that moral giant, but he's a sincerity giant. He's not a schemer. And that word, Tom, T-O-M in the Hebrew, is from the word Tamar in the Hebrew. It means to spend yourself for others. So, to be a good shepherd, be a sincere one, an innocent one. Don't be one who suspects this, suspects that. Some guys are always suspecting. And the reason why you have heavy suspicion on your mind is because you have a bad character. Too suspicious, too, you know, too wondering, you know, maybe. No, he has an innocent, clear conscience in his work. Rather, he gives himself his pen to do the job, the integrity of his heart. And let me tell you this, and it counts for a lot that God wants to see your heart having that integrity. You don't have to get everything right. I don't. You won't. Nobody does. That's why Jesus is that example for us all. So, the integrity of the heart, the first thing. Secondly, he guided them. He guided them. And that word is the same word, nakash, or nakah, N-A-C-H-A-H. The same word used for Moses over Israel. So, what Moses did to Israel is what David is doing. And I gave you that background in our studies in church, that Israel wasn't meant to have a king, they were meant to have a servant leader like Moses. But then Moses said, the day you decide to have one, Deuteronomy 17, ensure that he is not a tyrant. Ensure he's a servant king. A servant king. And then they got Saul, and Saul was the exact opposite. We're coming to that shortly. And then eventually they found David, a man after God's heart, that is a king that fitted Deuteronomy 17, who was able to teach the law, practice it. He wasn't the perfect guy, but he followed God's perfect plan. God never uses the perfect guy for his perfect plan, but where you find an imperfect guy sincerely following God, he will fit into his perfect plan. Can I have an amen? So he gave them direction. Then another word in here, by the skillfulness of his hands. He directed them by the skillfulness. And I'm talking to you, saints community. I'm talking to you, leaders. I'm talking to you, all disciples, cell leaders, and those who are potentials. Hear this. The skillfulness, the tebuna, in the Hebrew has to do with the wisdom you acquired by experience. Leadership is by experience. What did I say? You don't lead by knowledge alone, you lead by experience. You must have the experience. And so you must have the experience of one who is learning to teach others. You must have the experience of one under authority to execute one. Leadership comes with experience. He says he led them by the skillfulness. Skillfulness is not just knowledge. Skillfulness is the expertise you get by applying knowledge. So, that is how he became a good shepherd of the sheep. Moses is equally like that. Exodus 2 and 3, you find that he is equally a shepherd over the people of God. What it means is that God treats his people, or scriptures do better still, as sheep. Sheep must be led, tended, attended to, and taken care of. So in 1 Samuel 16, there's something about faithful men. Faithful men will be found doing the same thing. 1 Samuel 16. Of course, 1 Samuel 15, we already have Saul done the number on Samuel. And so, Samuel goes to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. I want you to observe something here. God doesn't give Samuel the name. He just says, go to the house of Jesse, for I have, 1 Samuel 16:1, provided me a king among his sons. See how it works. He goes in there, and then he says, Jesse, well, somehow God's decided to choose one of the members of your Bible school. Oh, great. Those people who buy your books, they show up on social media with your pictures. Those folks who you preach for. And he says, okay, great. Come inside. Let's see how it goes. So he brings in Eliab, the one who's tallest and who has the greatest, is higher in the polls, highest in the polls. He said, and the pastor, the man of God, in verse 6 says, oh, this is the man. This is the man. Before me is the Lord's anointed. That's what he says. Right before me is the Lord's anointed. And then the Lord said to Samuel, look not on the countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. You look at the outward appearance, which is not bad, but I look on the heart. I have refused him. Just the next chapter will tell you the kind of person Eliab was. What refused then, the Hebrew, has to do with disqualify. And there are people who have been disqualified way ahead of time. So, he says he's not the guy. And that's strange. Because as the first guy, according to culture, that's naturally the one you would choose. Okay? Then they called all the children they came, and the Lord said, neither have I chosen this. And then, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, verse 10, said, Lord, I have chosen. Then Samuel said to Jesse, I hear all your children. Is this everyone? These are the ones we see on Facebook. These are the ones we see on social media. These are the ones we see everywhere. Then he said, oh, there's one. There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, look at that word. He keepeth the sheep. Somehow, Samuel, because now most of the time when you have such impressions of the Spirit, some things will just buzz, pump. As he said, he keeps the sheep. He said, get him! That's the man! We will not sit down till he comes. He knew that he has something we need for Israel. He keepeth the sheep. Is that new? He keepeth the sheep. Leader of Israel, Moses knew who the elders of the people were. Acts 6, they knew who the servants were. Acts 16, they knew who Timothy was. So, he keeps the sheep. A youngest. I thought the youngest would be on the field playing. He learns responsibility from youth. I've seen people say, well, God used young people. God will use young people. And they go, you know, prattling up and down. God uses young people. God used David. God uses. But David was not a lazy youth. People tell us the president called Nigerian youths are lazy. Well, that has come to pass. You ask them to go vote. No, they won't. But go vote for someone having a real life, what do you call that thing? Something I've forgotten. 900 million votes. 900 million votes for, what do you call that thing? Reality TV show. 900 million votes. Not the men, but of course, maybe 50 million people voted maybe 20 times. And show up to vote your leaders. You see them on the pitch playing football. Irresponsible. Show up and be a good example on the street. So, what kind of a generation is that? You've got to learn to take responsibility. You see them on Twitter, they will abuse the person who started Twitter. What kind of irresponsible life is that? God's not going to use you because you are young. No. Everybody is young to God. Don't you get that? If you're 100 years old to God, you are young. He's going to use you because you are responsible. He keeps a sheep. He's not trying to date a girl. Can I have an amen? Keep a sheep. That resonated. Even though it was insignificant. Samuel knew that's it. As soon as he came in, arise, anoint him. This is he. Does God reject people not for salvation, but for service? Yes. You have to be qualified. 1 Timothy 3:1-13. You've got to be qualified. You've got to be what he wants. Acts 6, they didn't choose everybody. They chose selected people. Acts 1:21, 22. They chose selected people. Don't say, I don't like that church. They are legalistic. They are legalistic. How can they say that? Because I don't attend prayer group meeting. See your mouth like they fast forwarded a video. So one time he got late to the service. He says, I don't know, why do you lock the service at the door? I mean, I'm just wondering. I said, oh boy, that's how I want to hear. That's how, this is Saints Coming Church, right? Did you start this church? I said, no. You can't change the rules here. By the way, go down the road, you have options. No. You either pull up or get out. It's basic. You don't come in here, change rules. Well, and I just assume that we should walk in the same time. I said, no, sorry. This is not salvation. In salvation, come as you are. In leadership, you can't come as you are. We'll find out whether this is what it is. So you select, you choose. Who is who? And so, in 1 Samuel 17, it comes out what he was doing. 1 Samuel 17. David, verse 12, the son of the Ephratites of Bethlehem and Judah. What I found about David is interesting. He's anointed as king. I'm sure some of us who were executives in our school fellowships, the moment they gave you the, what do you call it, mantle? Whatever they gave you, just the next day, you change what you're wearing. We know, there was one guy like that high. I hope he won't get offended at this, but he shouldn't. He was believing he was going to be the next executive president of a campus fellowship. He's a guy that he looks up to me, friends too. So he was chosen, he was chosen. So because he believed he was the next president, he bought a briefcase. And he's carrying like he say, hey, president, next president. He's trying to. And I, interestingly, I'd spoken with the people in charge of the fellowship. They told me, we're not choosing him. He's on these places where they pretend that they're casting ballots. You know what I'm talking about. Where's Alex? Alex, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. And so they'll cast lots, but they told me they know who will not be chosen. How did you, what's your casting lot? For the sake of the brethren. So he wasn't made the president. He had already bought a suit. Abba. What do you think this is about? Your shoulder's gone up with shoulder part. The only thing, bless you. Oh, Shonda, hallelujah, glory. So on the day they didn't give him president. And I was in the hall. As soon as they said, the next president, so and so, everybody just looked at the near miracle syndrome. So, he's in the president. And I kind of felt, Hanny became, felt bad. Now I had to cancel him. I said, you know what? That means nothing. I said, this is the true test for you, brother. So what did he say? If you truly wanted to serve, that wouldn't matter to you. What will matter to you is to do the will of God in this place and be a servant. That's why it matters less to me to be called Reverend, all this stuff. I picked up ordination 26 years ago, last 2 months. I have the ordination forms. 26 years ago. You won't find me. How can I write my name and put pastor? I didn't learn that from Kenneth Hagin. I didn't learn that from the people I looked up to. How would I write that? How would I pick my phone and address myself as? You will never find me say that. But I am a pastor. I don't have to say it to be it. I am your pastor, Abby. See how you answered? Yeah. What's going on here? Okay, so he's right there. He's been anointed as king among his elder brother. The next morning, some of us would have slept late. David! You are not washing the dishes. Were you not there last night? That's Pastor David. This is now King David. You don't know the kind of death awaiting you. There's Saul, I see the king there. You are fed up with pride. Don't you know you have battles to fight?
Ministry has battles though. They give revelation, you say, ha, you know, as a man of God concerned, you will stop before starting. Or you will end, sorry, before starting. When I see people, they say they are ordained to ministry. And they now go and cook Nigerian jollof. Say, ha, you're eating turkey? What are you doing for ordination? For an assignment that is a war! Imagine you sending people to war, Nigerian soldiers, they are going to war, but why? Say, we are going to war. And then they begin to drink. Begin to drink, say, hey, we have lost. This is war! Hallelujah! Yeah, talking. You know, ministry has started. We give God the patience. 1 Samuel 17. David doesn't have that on his heart. He's the youngest. But what does he do in 15? He went and returned from Saul to feed what? He's already talking with the king. Some of us will just be, when the king is in his bathroom, you go and sit on the throne briefly, so he doesn't know I'm the new king. When I enter, I will put my hand like this. Probably ask how they will come up on the pulpit to say, pastor just comes in. Me, I won't do my own like that. You just go pastor. I don't go like this. It's all over your head. Years ago, we finished the convention. And I was asking the brethren, 2004, I think. What did you learn at Believer's Convention? Someone said, you know, some of you are already laughing because you were there. You were not there now. Are you laughing? You know what I'm about to say? Those who were there, they know what I'm about to say. Say, you know, I'm just seeing down the years, we're going to be on TV. It was in a sitting room. And I'm just seeing myself, my friend, sit in front. Pastor will be teaching and will be nodding. Yeah. That's not funny, but they are not here. And we're on TV. Do you get the point? Because we're going on TV for you to sit in front. We're going on TV to reach the world. And with that attitude, nobody's going to give. Oh, you lost that. Pray in tongues, you don't get it. He is with the sheep. When you are faithful, you are faithful. He is with the sheep. Reverend Friday Dow said this years back. Now I can't forget it. Was Reverend Friday? No. It was Reverend Mike Bitoy. He said, great men are revealed in little things. Little men are revealed in great things. Give a faithful man an insignificant work. He will do it very well. Give an unfaithful man a big work, you will regret the day you were born. There's nothing too small when you are faithful. There's no task. See, hear me, I'm not trying to judge myself well, but if I do, glory to God. I am as committed today, if not more than when I had just two people listening to me. Two, three. Some of you were there. She's a witness. We'll be in a room and I'm going to teach Monday to night. 3 days. I told them what I'm saying here is going to be heard in the world. I know. Faithful. Pray. The song, for the earth shall be filled with noise of glory. We were in a room. 4 or 5 of us praying. It wasn't a conference. No. Same doggedness. Same commitment. You don't become faithful overnight. No! In the little things. You can't be faithful with prayer group. You can't be faithful with study group. How would you be able to handle other complex theological issues? Wait well. He went back to sheep. We asked him to teach at Believer's Convention. He opened the meeting and he led prayer. And he goes back to his cell.
doesn't think I've gone beyond that. What else does he do? The dad calls him, hey, David. Yes, daddy. He didn't say, daddy, don't come. Say King David. Say, just say KD. He says, take this to your brethren. Just like Peter, James, and John. He's carrying food. Food. How would you? Come on. After laying on of hands, no TV ratings, nobody's calling you to preach at a conference, you are carrying food. Why? Because the leader of the children of God is a servant. The leader of the people of God is a servant. If you can't serve, you can't lead. If service is beneath you, leadership is way, way far from you. You can't serve. Should be able to serve. Learning some? He goes and takes the food there. And while he got there, look at 20. He rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took it away. He left with a keeper. He's just faithful. You know, you can give the excuse, after all, daddy sent me somewhere. He still put the sheep in the proper place. I've asked you to go preach somewhere, go handle the work of ministry somewhere. You don't want to abandon it. Say, Pastor, yeah, but I need to ensure someone leads the prayer group tomorrow, sir. And the right person. So I'm going to ensure this happens. Because you can't afford to drop the ball in anything. So when you hear he led with integrity of his heart, this is what is the background. Hope you are learning something. He has the experience of a faithful man. He knows how to keep the sheep of God by knowing how to keep the insignificant things. If you cannot wash the seats, then you don't love those who will sit on it. If you cannot be there for people, you want to take the gospel everywhere, we're changing lives, but you cannot spare hours in the week for people. You're too busy, too engaged. You are only singing a lullaby. Some of us will be quick to point to one man of God who's been in the ministry for 40 years and say, is that the word? Is that the word? See your mouth. Someone's been faithful for 40 years. You can't even do 4 weeks. 40, 50 years. You can't even do 4 weeks. 4 weeks, 2 excuses. 6 weeks, 8 excuses. 1 year, another testament. You should shut your mouth. You must be faithful. Paul says, when your obedience is complete, then you will avenge all disobedience. Hope you are learning from it. He goes to the field. Then he decides to take on Goliath. And then the brother says, hey, who asked you? Why did you come down here verse 28? With whom thou hast left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride, the notice of your heart. Thou come down, thou mayest see the battle. Now, look at the way he spoke about his father's work. A few sheep. A few sheep. When you see people like this, just like Esau, he talked down on the inheritance, talked down on what their dad does, just speaks low of it. They are rejected. Use their mouth. See, no matter your anger, Saints Community Church, hear me. No matter your anger, I know you shouldn't be angry, but if by the way Satan got a hold of you, you got angry, don't say the wrong thing. It will catch up with you. I am telling you. Don't say stupid things. Anything you disrespect, you sign off away from it. How can you call it few sheep? How? This is a man with our honor, a man with our respect for holy things. And he shows up in the basic things. Esau said, what is it with my birthright? To hell with it. Come on. Who cares about preaching? Who cares about that? Who cares about that? Come on, I just want to eat and be fine. I can't kill myself over any ministry. I can't kill myself over anybody. And God's not going to trust you with that anymore. Because he killed himself over the same people you can't kill yourself over. anybody comes to translate me. I have my own life to lead. Such men don't serve. I told my wife one day, I said, you know, we have our own problems right now, have challenges. But when we swore to this, we're going to do it, come rain, come shine. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to do this. We've been through it together. We just have to do this. That's just it is. We just have to. It's just, I know we could just abandon this and go face that, but sometimes we go through very harsh times. But we have to come up and lead the people of God. Serve them. Be there for them. Take them into our home. Make sure that they follow God's plan for their lives. So, really, to say such things because of what? Some of us will turn to our spouses because of a domestic argument. You see, you call yourself a pastor. Pastor nonsense. You're crazy. And that craziness is going to catch up with you. No matter what happens, watch what you say. Is that very clear? So Moses, David did exactly what I should do. So what have I done? Is there not a cause? He turned from him towards another. Hear me very well. If people bring railing accusations against you, don't engage them. They want you to engage them to distract you. I simply just ignore. Got work to do. I've had prophecies over my life that were so damning. I've had words. I've had things said. I just ignored it. Because I need to keep my eyes on the ball. I got work to do. I got the nations of the world to reach. I've got you to pastor. I've got you to teach. I've got you to bring up. I've got you to be there for, because you are also there for me. I've got you to pray for. I've got work to do. He turned and moved. Now he got Goliath down eventually, but I want to observe something that happened. In 1 Samuel 17, when he got before Saul, and Saul says, okay, good, I'm going to help you take out Goliath. Then he said to Saul, how do I know you are able? Saul said to David, Saul, verse 33, how do I know you are able? You know, when he said that Saul was going to take down Goliath, Saul is having high expectations. Who's coming out for Goliath? Hey, hey, hey. And then he sees one guy, you know, just about the height of Lionel Messi. That is not absolutely nothing personal. I just said, that's an ultrasound. So, he comes and says, oh, he's discouraged. This is David, I know him. Oh, David, this is not playing the javelin. I mean the harp, David. This is serious. It's not about leading worship of people who are going to fall out of the power of God. This is Goliath we're talking about. Then he said to him, are you able to take Goliath? Look at what he said in 34. I have been a cell leader. I have discipled two people. A lion came, a bear, they took the lamb out of the flock. What looks insignificant. Lamb is an insignificant animal. I went after, smote him, delivered out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will come down. What's going on? He is about to lead not by chance. He's a guy to lead by experience. I have experience. Paul will say to Timothy, do not choose a bishop who has no experience, a novice, 1 Timothy 3:6. In the Greek, the word is neophutos, N-E-O, 1 Timothy 3:6. P-H-U-T-O-S, T-O-S, is the word for neophyte. Neophyte, someone who just sprung up from nowhere. No serious-minded leader chooses people who just spring up. He has an experience with the Lord. He is saved, one. He has served, two. Like Timothy, he is known to have served. Like Joshua, he ministered with Moses. He's been there. He was there when the church started, when they were 10. He stayed. He saw the lion and the bear. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, with the same comfort that we are comforted of God, so we comfort you. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 6. Same comforts. So we comfort you. Verse 4, pardon me. We may be able to comfort them that are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we are also comforted of God. As you grow in leadership, all your experiences become useful. When I teach today and I'm talking, you are laughing. But when I was having those experiences, they were not funny. But today they have become tools for leadership. Are you following what I'm saying? Because what if I had backed down and I had dropped the ball? Number one, the experiences become useless and I won't be able to talk about them today. They only became useful because I didn't drop the ball, and I trust God that I will never drop the ball. I trust Him that I'll keep learning. Today is still a learning experience for me. By 2 years' time, I'll use this experience to keep leading you. That's how it goes. You don't run away from the fight. You don't. They become useful later. The seeming challenges that you have eventually becomes useful in ministry. So in discipleship, you acquire deep experience with the Lord. You serve, then you can lead others as a servant, not as a ruler. So take note of this. Faithfulness is never in the past. One. Oh, but that guy was faithful. There's nothing like that. It's not in the past. It's not in the past. Two. Humility is not in the past. Anyone can be humble when they are young or when they are poor, or when they don't have much to boast of. Humility is not what you used to do, it's what you do now. Same as loyalty. Loyalty is not in the past. Loyalty is what you are still doing now. So we find David is a faithful guy. He's a faithful guy. Faithful. Faithful guy. Faithful with few, such that you could see that the sheep wasn't really a big farm. The brother said a few sheep. A few sheep. You must carry your disciples, your ministry, like gold on your heart. Gold. When there's pain on them, there's pain on you. When they cry, you cry. When they're in trouble, you are praying. They're just two people. Oh, you're faithful. You're faithful. Teaching the word, I've seen people abandon. There was a fellow like that. He will abandon. Anytime there's a challenge in his life, he abandons the flock. I said, why is it always the flock that is the first victim of your problems in life? He's never been able to pastor anything for many years. And I trust God that things have changed for him now. I believe it has. Just use that as an example. I believe that he will have said it to someone else to bless them. You shouldn't be like that. Don't treat God's sheep like nothing. Not like nothing. Don't do it. Faithfulness is never in the past. Humility is not in the past. Loyalty is not in the past. So as you are a disciple, you are going to grow in experience. Make sure that your experience becomes useful for others. And how can that happen? The only way that experience can be useful, if you don't drop the ball. Hope I'm making sense, everybody. Don't drop the ball. You have unexpected experiences. You're going to have difficult times. But don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball. Then, somewhere along the line, what seemed like trouble will now become comfort unto others. I've seen people say, when you stood up, as you taught the word and shared it, that was all I needed to stay in the ministry. So I'm wondering, what if I didn't stay? What if I gave excuses? What if I gave reasons? I trust God to abide. Paul will say to Timothy, the things you have learnt of me, 2 Timothy 2:2, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Be faithful with the teaching. Are you there? Titus 1:9. He understands the faithful word is able to teach others. He holds fast that faithful word. That faithful word. You haven't seen us teach something else because there's a pandemic, have we? Huh? No, we won't. Because we've got the faithful word. The faithful word requires a faithful minister. Be faithful. Say, I'm faithful. Say it like me, I'm faithful.
I'm faithful.
Be faithful.
faithful.
Whether your pastor is there or not, be faithful. Whether your cell leader is there or not, be faithful. Be faithful. Faithful simply means be loyal to what you're called to do and do it well. It's faithful with the teaching too. It's faithful with the purpose. Paul will say to Timothy, you know my purpose. 2 Timothy 3:10. The word purpose, the word prothesis in the Greek. P-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-S. Prothesis means my dedication. What I am dedicated to. You know the reason why I do it. In other words, as we rub off on each other, we pick purpose from us, from each other. I can never forget the life of Kenneth Hagin. Brother Hagin gave me that sense of purpose of doing just what God has called you to do. And that's why I'm not really trying to do something new. God, what do you want me to do? Sense of purpose. Doing it for the same reason God wants you to do it, we'll learn purpose from others. This is the reason why it's done. We learn the word from others. We learn the work of the ministry from others. We also learn purpose from others. So, in discipleship, as you lead men in Christ, write this down quickly. You lead them in prayer. You lead them in the workings of the Spirit. You lead them in commitment. That extra push will bless somebody somewhere. That extra state power is going to be someone's saving grace. People are looking up to you. You must make sure you don't drop the ball. You learn discipleship from people. You learn morality. Morality from people. The aspect of being sincere and pure in conduct. 1 Timothy 4:12. You learn generosity. That's 6, 7. You learn how to handle sorrow and pain while you serve from others. You learn it. I'm going to ask you, can others learn it from you? Prayer, the workings of the Spirit, commitment to the gospel, discipling others, morality and purity in conduct, generosity, how you handle pain, your expectations are not met. You learn it by watching others and learning from them. So there's that call on us to be Joshua, David, Elisha, Timothy, Titus. Where? We are learning it. We're not trying to form our own ideas. We're watching and simply replaying what we're learning. That's all we're doing. We're not under pressure to reinvent the wheel. So let's say 1 Thessalonians 5, when we close from there for this session, we have one more. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, same as the local church. And we beseech you, brethren, to know all the men of God in the body of Christ. Huh? Some of you don't even know, you don't know the pastor of Saints Community Church, let's say Abuja. But you have a list of men of God from other ministries. You are a bad example. What is your responsibility as the leaders over you in the Lord? Know them. Know them. Who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Which are among you. He didn't say in the body of Christ. They're among you. To esteem them very highly. You see the word? Very highly. In love for their world's sake, that there be peace amongst us. So you know. You know them. Who is who? Who is who? 1 Peter 5, 4 or 5. Peter says they are the younger and the elders. You should know that in this church we have those who are pastors over some pastors. Know that. Interestingly, you'll find somebody who is over another pastor who goes by brother so and so. Well, I'm the one that calls everybody brother and sister. You don't.
And he said, but why is this person called brother and that person is called pastor? Why is your mind going to hell? What has that got to do with you? You know them. They are over you in the Lord. Recognize those who are over you in the Lord. Know who is the elder. Don't reinvent the wheel. The moment we follow the leader in any way, that's the way we achieve unity. This unity starts with having two leaders in the same place. Having two persons who lead you, who teach you, who guide you. The moment that happens, there's going to be dishonor, disunity, and discord. This unity starts when I dare to be different, when I'm already different. This unity starts when I don't see my leader, just one person over me. Don't make Aaron's mistake. Aaron always listened to the congregation. No, you don't do that. You listen to the person over you. That's why Paul says, the time will come, they want to tell you what to teach. You teach what I told you. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, 3. You've learnt it from me, right? The time will come, the heap of teachers, you don't follow that. You just preach the word. What I taught you, you preach it. So I give you this time to think and pray. And be that person, reliable, faithful in the house, who can carry out the task. Irrespective of status, age, situation, pain, sorrow, and is learning. Someday, not too far, all your experiences will become your wisdom and leadership as you lead others to lead others who will lead others that will lead others as God has proposed it. Amen. Let us pray. Let us just pray. Commit your heart to be that shepherd of God's sheep, to be that brother and sister doing the will of God from the heart. Pray for yourself. To be faithful. Pray in the Holy Ghost.